Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, church family. I think oftentimes I've got to remember to just be who God made me to be. So we're going to start like a hockey match here. Here you go. Okay. Make sure she's getting baptized next week, so we got to make sure we get a shirt. Okay. So at 8 o'clock, I shared that we had our folks back from El Salvador. You know they're here. Mr. and Mrs. Ricky are back. We're almost back to full strength, but we have ladies traveling back from Life Action Camp this week. So just pray for the team. Pray for me as well, because I don't know about you, but I struggle in my own head. Anybody got that issue? Okay, good. Sometimes, you know, for a pastor, and see, I don't like even saying that, to wear a shirt untucked, I'm trying to kick over some sacred cows. I almost wore a hat. Yeah, when they gave me my ordination papers back in the early 2000s, which is okay, I wore a cutoff shirt just because God called me who I am, and I can't change that, but He does. Do you know what I mean? And so many times growing up, I was in a legalistic house, legalistic religion, legalistic. I had to follow a set of rules. Anybody ever been there where you follow these set of rules and you never add up? Just leaves you feeling worthless and not good enough. And I didn't know enough to know that God didn't care. He sent His Son to die for me. And if that's where you are, you feel like you just get beat down in your own head, like not good enough, not strong enough, not this enough. We're all there, and that's why God sent His Son, to rescue us from that weight, that pressure. And so to share this kind of like this message of what Paul talks about in Galatians with this new creation, this new creature. 2 Corinthians calls it this new life, new creature. Anytime I say creature, I think I go like that because I think of creature feature. And you don't want to be a creature, you know. But God wants to make you a new creation. And the enemy only ever wants you to stay locked into that set of rules. Got me? And I'm not saying rules are bad. I'm saying to think that I could merit myself to God's favor. Do you get it? Like if I obey this enough, God will love me more. Is that true or untrue? I'll let you figure that out through the message, okay? Some of us are unsure. But here's the thing. God loves you right where you are. And He doesn't say, oh, I'll love you if you can jump over this hurdle. He says, no, I love you. So we're going to unpack Galatians chapter 6. And let's stand as we read God's word. This is page 1158 in your Bible in the chair there. Page 1158. Chapter 6, verse 11. And it says, see what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is to those who want to make a good showing in the flesh, who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of Christ of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for your truth, Lord. We thank you that you're calling us, that you love us right where we are. Lord, you want to make us new. Come and pierce our hearts with your truth and help us to desire that new life, that new creation deep within our hearts. Thank you that you are in the transformation business. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So back in 2017, I'm going to start with a story. You guys love that. But then we're going to walk down verse by verse, so you'll know when we get to the end. But back in 2017, there was a gentleman, Pastor Tom Wright. Some of you might know him. Some of you don't. Calm down. Just calm down. If you know him, you're getting fired up already. So this guy was a firecracker at age 70. And in 2017, he started emailing me that he wanted to write a book with me. And I'm like, I doubt that. Maybe we could write a couple sentences together. But anyway, he deemed it on the hunt. On the hunt for a new creature. And he wanted to bring out 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, that if you are in Christ, you're a new creature. You're new. And he said, if that is the case that Paul talks about, then we need to hunt this new creature down and make a display. Where is it? Where's the new creature? Where's this new creation? And you see, this is what Christians have. This is what we have in a nutshell. We have Jesus Christ who made us new. This is what we want to share with the world. So he's also the guy that man-slapped me, okay? And I don't mean just like, I mean, I was wrestling in about 2000, 2001 with being a pastor, okay? So I was on the walk to Emmaus where I met Tom, and Steve Gingy told Tom that I was wrestling with the call of God on my life. So when we went to our gathering, which was like a 3 month later, they check in, how are you doing? This Steve guy told Tom that I wanted to be a pastor, and Tom said he wanted to meet with me. And we're at a church in Moline, and I'm sitting there talking to the guy, and he's like, why do you want to be a pastor? And I started talking about the pressure on my heart, God, and all this, and sharing from my heart what God is calling me to do. And when I got done sharing, he goes, whack, right across my face. Man slapped me. What kind of counseling is this, right? Like, we're about ready to wrestle. But he's 70. I don't know, what do you do to this guy? And he got right in my face. I mean, I'm listening. And he got right in my face. He said, God's calling you. Don't ever forget it. Yes, I'll never forget this moment. So I'm still in different counseling. I sought somebody else. Okay. This guy, I mean, firecracker. As soon as I mention him, Kevin's in the back pumping his fist because this guy will just blow up. And maybe that's why you know I preach like I do. But okay. So all of this is, he's calling me out, like knighting me, to remind me that I'm a new creation in Christ and God is calling. And, I got time. If you all want to step up here, I'll slap you and remind you. So, but I know this isn't good counseling. God wants you to be new. You know why? The old is cursed. Just being born in this world means we're under condemnation. We're under an effect of sin on our life that we're not okay. And I won't slap each of you, but God's calling you. He's calling you out. He wants you to be new. And sometimes you're like me, you could feel that pressure. You just say, yes, Lord, take it all. Write it. The men's momentum last week learned, hey, write God a blank check and just hand it over, right, guys? Okay. So when we dive into chapter 6 of Galatians, it kicks aside all of the legalism. And so we're going to walk down verse by verse. And the first one is 11, where Paul, this is where he is actually dictating to a scribe the whole letter, right? Chapters 1 through 5 to 6 to verse 10 here. And he grabs the pen. He's like, all right, listen up. See what big letters I'm writing to you? I want you to know this is Paul writing, right? This is important. He grabs a pen, and why? Because he says, see what big letters. They think he had eyesight. I mean, the man for Jesus was whipped, beaten, bludgeoned to death by rocks. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't dead. Came back to life by the power of God, walked back into town and kept preaching. So you think he might have some eyesight problems. Okay, so he grabs the pen. He's like, listen up, I'm writing to you. This is how you spot issues about legalism. Those who want to make a good showing, in verse 12, part A, those who want to make a good showing in the flesh would force you to be circumcised. Now understand, circumcision was to be Jewish. To be a Jew, you had to be circumcised. Right? On the eighth day, you're dedicated in the temple. Then you got your name. They circumcised you. This was the Jewish right to be Jew. Okay? Pretty important. Okay. Yep. All right. Moving. Okay. So, Paul's warning them that in 12b, they want to do all of this because they do not want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Did you hear that? We want to go back to the old way and the old laws and the old rules and the old things because I don't want to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And this is just yuck to Paul. Paul's saying to go back to the old ways, all of the laws, the 600-something laws, the rules, and all of these things. How many of you know you can't? The law was given, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, the law was given as like a prison master, a weight on us to understand none of us are good enough. God's word says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen, church? So we're all in the same position. If you've been born, you're not good enough, I'm not good enough, and God knows it. Here's the thing, some of us know it too. We know you're not good. No, I'm joking. Okay. You can point that finger at me. They want to go and sign you up to a ritual, a ceremony. You know why? Because if I can sign up for a ritual and a ceremony, I don't have to change my life. I can just be at church on Sunday and go home on Monday, be whoever I want. Foolishness. The true thing is God wants to transform good people. No, God wants to transform sinners into the righteousness of Christ. That blows my mind. You and I are called out from all these old ways, all of this law, to the cross of Christ. See, this cross behind me, it's up there, but it signifies that something's got to die, something's got to be on it, something's got to be sacrificed. And in your heart, I've heard it this way, in our hearts, we have two things, a cross and a throne. If Seth Bowker's on the throne ruling my life, then Jesus is on the cross dying because I'm just living how I want. If Seth Bowker's on the cross, yielding to Jesus, then Jesus is on the throne ruling my life. You got a cross and a throne, which one are you on? Because I'm just selfish enough to sit on that throne and say, thanks, Jesus, I know, I'm pretty cool too. Thanks for dying for me, I can just do whatever I want. He says, no, don't take this freedom we have and go back to slavery, to sin. You've been set free from the law. You've been set free from sin. You've been set free from the punishment. Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself and follow him. Follow Jesus. Deny yourself. I'm horrible at that. I see pictures of people on the cross, and I shouldn't say it that way. I see evidence of people living this in their own life. Okay? That's the picture I'm talking about. I didn't see Jesus. Okay. I was visiting someone, and some of my family knows, in an assisted living, and this gentleman had neck pins in his neck. And I just talked to my brother-in-law yesterday about this, but this gentleman had his throat cut, moved aside, put pins in his neck because he cracked vertebrae and things in there, and they had this surgery where they had to remove it, fix it, put it back in a neck brace, and I'm visiting with him, right? And I just say, I know you've been through a lot. How can I pray for you? And you know what? He's sitting there with his neck brace, and of course, I'm thinking, yeah, well, he's going to want healing. And you know what he says? Pray for my wife. She's been through so much with me. Wait, dude, you got pins in your neck, and you're worried about her? Do you see the picture of the cross, church? Do you see our Savior, Jesus Christ? Same thing, on the cross, nails, beaten, not even looks like a man. And he says, God, what can we do? We can get you down. And Jesus says, no, be with my bride, be with the church, because they're going to need to know my love. Be with them. Jesus is on the cross praying to forgive people that put him there. Do we have that cross in us? Do we bear it up? Oh, you know, I can struggle and slide right into legalism in my own brain. And Paul is directing us right to it, to knock it off, that there's something far better. Verse 13, it says, those who are circumcised, they themselves don't even keep the law, but they want you to, so they can boast in your flesh. This whole legalism side, I'm going to go down a big, long line and explain to you. And I'm not trying to step on everybody's toes, but if you'll put them out, I will, okay? Now, we all come from a long line of different backgrounds, different religions. And what Paul starts to go down is that these types of Judaism, the circumcision, it got folded into Christianity, and it's not done. Do you understand that? There are men ordaining men and wearing robes saying that they're the priestly line and you better do whatever they say. That's not freedom. That's old. Right? There's cathedrals, there's altars, there's everything that looks just like the Old Testament, and it's not the freedom that Christ is offering. There's rules, there's rituals, there's baptisms that save you. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus saves you. Those rituals, those ceremonies don't save us. Jesus on the cross, his blood shedding for all of us, is what saves us. But you keep going down this line. Even the teachers of this say that Jesus abolished the ceremonial law, the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. Anybody ever heard of the Big Ten? Don't lie, cheat, steal, and hang with those that do, right? That's the 10. Okay. They say that Jesus never abolished the 10. That's not what Paul's teaching. 2 Corinthians 3 says that God wrote those first 10 commandments with his finger on stone. Okay? That is the moral law, the 10 commandments written on stone. The new covenant says that God takes it and he writes it on our hearts. He writes it within us. So he abolished even the 10. But you know, they're so good, the Holy Spirit will let you live by them. Follow me, new creatures. Because if I have Jesus in me, guess what? It's his righteousness. He doesn't want me to lie. He doesn't want me to steal. And out of love for him on the inside and fellowship with him right here, I don't want static and all this pressure of me doing stupid stuff. Oh, I do stupid stuff all the time. Yes. Oh, yeah, now I got to share it. Okay. Oh, two flat tires, solenoid mower, just wouldn't start. I got it started finally, and only one side of the deck was spinning. It was great, right? Like, I don't know, Lord, just help me fix my mower. I just want to do the front yard. It might look good, right? I drive over the driveway and hit a culvert. Stop the whole mower. We had shrapnel instantly, right? I mean, it was like, bop! Like, oh, last year I could fit over that. This thing grew, you know? So, but guess what? I started the mower back up. Both blades are running. Hallelujah. Praising the Lord for the little things. Cut great. So, best fix I've had in a while. So, I'm saying God cares about all those little details. He's listening to his kids. Now I don't know where I was. You guys made me. The legalism, it pierces into my heart. This week, there was a grandma that came to church. And I mean, to the office. And she came in and she said she needed help with her power bill. And I don't even know why I asked this question, but I said, I've never seen her before. And I said, how did you hear about us? How did you come in here today? And this is what she said. My grandkids were here and got a free backpack last summer. And I just figured this would be a place to help. Isn't that good? Yeah. But you know, my stupid, I didn't see you in church. Why are we going to help you? You do it too. Or, hey, if we help her, maybe she'll come Sunday. Is that the point? James says, if someone asks, and I say, go away, be fed, let your power be turned on, and I don't do anything, what is my faith? Worthless. And I got to see the two grandkids, 1 and 3, sitting in the car seats. And you know what? I thought, I bet you God just used us because one of them prayed. God, turn my power back on. He hears it. He hears it. But here's the cool thing, church. He uses us to answer prayers. He uses us because we have a new life. He uses us because Jesus is now in our hearts and we can have compassion on the whole world. But you know what can happen? I can fall into my ceremony. I can be critical. And even the enemy in my own brain can say, I can't believe you did that. You're supposed to be a pastor. I'm like, Denise, don't tell me that. She's not here, so that's my wife, by the way. Let's look at verse 14. Paul throws out a dividing line with his own hand. He's writing. He says, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Do you hear that, church? That's our motto. That should be our theme. That should be our battle cry, right? World, you've been crucified to me and I have been crucified to the world. When it comes at you with all of its lust, all of its pomp and power and everything, nope, I got Jesus. I don't need anything. I've been crucified to you, world. The world has been crucified to me. That means I don't want anything of it. Give me Jesus. That's life. That's new life. Give me his word. Give me his love. Let me spread it around. You know how great it is to give away things that aren't yours? It's all his. Let's wholesale it. Okay, I'm the only one on that team. I got one. All right. You give it away. Oh. I hate to quote this guy because he's not here, so he's going to be all big-headed. But Travis was telling the men's group, he's like, Travis Boswell says, if you're going to give it away, if you want to keep it, you got to give it away. You want to keep it? You want to keep the new life? You want to keep Jesus? You got to give him away. You got to let compassion rule in your heart. You got to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Put on brotherly affection for one another. Do you know how hard it is to love family? Oh, yeah. All right, I get a one. Yep, thanks. And he's a little kid sitting up here. You tell that's Big John's boy. It's hard to love your daddy, too, bud. Amen. Whoa. You guys, we hurt each other. We say things. We cut each other down. The very ones we should love the most, we hurt the most. But I have a new life in me, so I got to walk up and say, Denise, I'm sorry. That was rude. I got to walk up and say, hey, brother. I got to call somebody and say, hey, I didn't mean to call you out last week. Didn't want to embarrass you. We got to forgive each other. Oftentimes I forget how much grace God has given me, and then I don't hand it out. Do you know how sick that is? Thanks. One of you said, yeah, you're horrible. Okay. No, we were talking about this in Sunday school. Mark chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man in two stages. We started talking about how he healed him. And he says, now what do you see? And he goes, I see men walking around like trees. And then he touched him. Well, first he spat on, anyway. Then he touched him, and then he could see. And he cured the blind man. Do you know there was like two-stage process? Did Jesus need two stages? First he cured his eyesight. Then he worked with his understanding. Like, if you're seeing men as trees, that ain't right. See, that's the way Jesus works with me. He's like, he pulls me out of the muck and mire, and then each stage he's trying to, Seth, let's work on your cussing. Seth, let's work on your alcohol. Seth, let's work on your drug addiction. Seth, let's work on your desires. Let's work on your attitude. Seth, and he keeps working on me in stages. But if he did it all at once, how proud and prideful would I be? I realize I need him every stage. Okay, so church, raise your hand if you're in a stage. Do you need love there? Do you need to know a church is behind you saying, yep, let's go, let's move on to the next one? I need it. We all need it. All right, you guys are getting me sidetracked. We're going back to the word. Okay, 15. Here it is. Circumcision counts for anything. Neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Did you hear that? The circumcision, the pomp, the ritual, all of it's gone. And then he says, and all of those who hate the religion, hate the process, hate all of that, that's talking to me, non-circumcision, that's nothing too. Right? Growing up in that legalism, like I want nothing to do with it. And then I go so far that I'm going to wear my shirt untucked, just to prove a point. Right? I mean, so that's nothing too. What counts, church? Okay, we're going to do it again. Look at verse 15. Circumcision counts for nothing, nor uncircumcision. What counts is... Oh, we had scripture. I get easily sidetracked. Sorry. Are you that desperate for it? It's real life. It's real love to be loved right where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad, no matter how good. It's not about that. Titus 3:5 says, God's not saving us because of the good works we've done. He's saving us because of his great mercy. Who can boast then? Nobody can say, oh yeah, God saved me because he needed another angel. Yeah, well, demons are angels too, bro. Right? Okay, don't get me sidetracked. This new creation is the pivotal point for each heart. And if you don't know you've been made new, then you don't know Jesus. He's in the transformation business. His first miracle, water to wine. old creatures into new ones, shining Jesus in his life. Here's verse 16. Let's move on. For those who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Did you hear that? Now, Paul just tells us all these rules and all these things are out. And then he goes back and he says, and all that walk by this rule, he just gave us a rule. What is it? Oh, this is where you pass or fail. New creation. Oh, if that could be our filter. Does this have to do with the new creation? Is how I'm speaking glorifying to God? Is what I'm saying grace to the hearers? Is what I'm desiring God's will for my life? Is what I'm thinking pure and holy that God would actually smile on me? I can't earn his favor, but you know what? I want to be so close to his holiness that he gets it on me. He's always rubbing off on sinners, changing them. It's a beautiful thing. This new creation, that's the only walk. That's the only rule. There's no other peace. There's no other mercy. And even the Israel that is, if they believed in Jesus and the blood of him, the Lamb of God, they would be new. Let me ask you, what's the most important spot of ground in this world to God? What's the most important temple to God? What's the most important heavenly realm to God? Here's the secret. It's you. You say Jerusalem, but Galatians 5 says, we're a heavenly Jerusalem. We're it. You say it's the temple, and you say it's the holy place, but God says it's right here where he dwells. And we say it's the kingdom of the heavenly realm, but this is a heavenly realm where he comes and sits on his throne. And Seth takes up his cross. That's the call. That's the new creation. And here's the cool thing. We don't just be the new creation. We keep on being. If you are still the same person you were last year, you got stagnant in your being a new creation. God never quits the work. All right, let's get up today, Seth. Let's make you more and more like Jesus. Okay. I don't want to. Yep, take up your cross. Oh, Lord, be with the mower. Hit the culvert. Okay, Lord, whatever you want. Right? Okay, how do we develop this? I'm going to park here for a second. How do we develop this? I already told you that God deals with us in stages, and we all are in a stage. Now, let's think about this. If you don't know God's love for you, you can't even begin your development. You're not even the new creation. God's going to start right where you are and say, Jesus died for you. Do you accept that for yourself? And you say, yes, Lord, come into my heart, save me. Let me be a new person. That's the first step. How do we keep developing this? 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 6 says that we now have to receive his comfort in the yuck and the mess of life. Raise your hand if you're in a mess. Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you're about to go through one. And you need him. He said, blessed be the God and comfort. Blessed be the Father and the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies who comforts us in all of our struggles, all of our temptations, all of our trials. He's comforting us. So we have to receive it. Why? Paul says, so that I can comfort those with the same affliction. So see, I receive his compassion, and then I got to get ready to hand it out. And it doesn't look like holy super Christian. It looks like, here's my scars. We don't see some of our gifts, our biggest sorrows. Divorce. struggle with addiction, struggle with pain. Some of those biggest sorrows we carry, that's the biggest gift God's given you. Why? Because he comforted you when you were going through it, so that you could reach out your hand and comfort someone else. Here's the next way you develop it. We focus on the need of others. Galatians 6:2, I already said it says, bear one another's burdens. You got a burden. Have you shared it? Find someone that will help you carry the load. And then remember that that's Jesus saying, come to me, everybody with heavy loads and burdens. And Jesus says, and I'll yoke up with you. We'll take his yoke. He'll bear it with us. Developing that compassion, developing Jesus in you, developing this new life. Who's in? Okay, I'm going to pray for you. We get one. Turn it all over. Write the blank check. Paul ends this 17 and 18. We're closing it up. Paul, who says in 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul, he was a slave to the law. He now has been beaten, whipped, eyesight's bad, give me my glasses, where are they at? And he says he's got the scars, the suffering, the grief, the sorrow, the loss of a loved one, all of those scars. And he's got them to help us. The pain. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. Let's bow our heads as the band comes up to play. Bow your head, close your eyes, or don't. It's not a rule. It's just a suggestion, so you don't have to look at the band. If you're like me and sometimes the burden is too much on your head, you're not good enough. You're not able to live to all the rules. Agree with the enemy. Say you're right. Right. That's why I have a Jesus. And he offered me new life. And he's working on me, working on transformation. Father, we thank you for your word that tells us that your righteous requirement of the law is being fulfilled in us because we have Jesus in us. It's done away with. Give us that rest, that peace. That we're no longer your enemy. We're no longer against you, but we're your children. So draw us in, Lord. Let us know that we're loved right where we are in all of our brokenness. And come share this burden with us. Walk with us. Heal us. Oh, Lord, give us a testimony that will glorify you on the rooftops. Thank you for pushing it all aside and just telling us to come to you. Not through ritual, but to a person, Jesus Christ. You're the way. We love you. Hear our hearts cry and draw us in, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open as we sing. Come, we'd love to pray for you. There's a prayer team as well. Let's stand and praise the Lord together.